Good morning again, and man, welcome to Alive. So glad to be here with you guys this morning, and so honored to share with you guys this morning as well. And you know, I'm just curious, do I have any puzzle lovers out there? Anybody who loves, yeah, don't be ashamed of that. Let me see hands, all right? Hold your hands up there. Wow, a lot of you guys, all right? Something about just doing a good puzzle, you know? Christmas and Thanksgiving time are kind of the only times, honestly, I ever touch a puzzle sometimes, and I might help for a few minutes, but our families love doing that around the holiday time. And have you ever experienced this? And I'm sure you are, especially the puzzle lovers, where you spend all this time and you work so hard on this puzzle, and you get to the end, you realize you're missing one piece. Oh, isn't that the worst? Like you check everywhere. You check the box. You check the table, right? You check the carpet. You check under the table. You check the dog and the family pets, right? You check your youngest kid. Sometimes you even check places that defy logic, right? You're like, why am I checking the fridge right now? You're like, life's crazy sometimes, you know? I don't know. But you check everywhere, and the part that gets you is oftentimes it's not the like an edge piece or whatever. It's usually something right in the middle that your eye is drawn to right away, and you're just like, the puzzle's incomplete. Like something in your soul can't move on from that because it's missing one stinking little piece, right? And you're like, really? I work for hours and it's still incomplete? And because here's the deal. It doesn't matter how beautiful the picture is or how vibrant the colors are on that puzzle piece. When one is missing, something is missing, right? And here's the truth. God is building something much greater, much bigger than an earthly puzzle. He's building his house. He's building his church. He's building us, right? He's building his people, his family. And just like a puzzle, every piece matters. Every single piece in God's puzzle matters and is significant, including you and I. Every believer is shaped in a specific way, designed and gifted in a specific way, including the ones of us that maybe feel too small or too insignificant or like our gift or our life doesn't matter. You see, God's house is like a divine puzzle, and his picture is not complete without every piece that he has created and he has designed. And so today, I want to show you through God's word that, man, you're not an accident. You're not a leftover piece. You're not a mismatched piece. So you know when your kids take two puzzles and they mix the pieces together, isn't that sick and twisted, right? It's like, which piece is this? Is this for the right puzzle, right? You're not a mistake. You have shape. You have form. You have function. You have a purpose, and you matter. And I want everybody, if you guys, when you walked in here in person, if you got a puzzle piece, I want you to pull that puzzle piece out. I just want you to hold it up for a second. And I want you to hear this, and I want you to experience this and feel this morning. It's also the title of my message, and it's this: your piece matters. Your piece in God's puzzle matters. No matter what shape this is, no matter what form, how big or small it is, your piece matters. And I want to show you today that God has gifted every believer. He's gifted every believer, designed every believer, it created every believer, and he wants to empower every believer to take their place in the picture that he is building. Because when everyone finds their place, when everyone gets their gifting in alignment, when everybody adds their contribution, the house grows, the church strengthens, right? And you find more life and more purpose when you come alive, when you find your place in God's puzzle. And so today we're going to take a journey through God's word to see how he designs this thing called the church to work and function and be organized, and how he gifts all of us with different gifts. Would you guys join me for a word of prayer as we dive into God's word this morning? Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful and thankful for this time and space to worship and connect with you. Father, as we open up your word, we thank you that it's truth and it's life, Lord God, that it's a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. Lord, show us how our peace matters in your eternal puzzle, Lord God. Show us how our peace matters here at this local expression of your church, the local body, Alive Family Church, and what we have to offer and bring to the table. And show us how you ordered this thing from the very beginning, Lord, how you desire for your church to function and to operate so that we can take our place in the beautiful thing that you are building, your house, your church, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. You know, another thing about puzzles is when you're putting together a puzzle, it helps to know what the puzzle looks like finished first, right? Like you need a starting point, right? And to do that, the best way to know what it needs to look like is what? What do you need to look at? The cover or the box top, right? You need to see that cover of like, where are we heading here? What is the vision of this thing all fully colored in and connected? Why? Because the box top or the cover shows you the beautiful entirety of the plan and the puzzle. And the same is true for our piece in God's plan, in God's puzzle, right? In his design. It's helpful for us to know how God has designed for his house or his church to operate and function. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells a young minister, Timothy, he says, "But if I'm delayed, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." And he goes on to say, the pillar in the ground of truth. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, and then again in verse 40, Paul encourages the church at Corinth with this. He says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is all the churches of the saints." And then verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And so it's important for us to understand that there's a right and wrong way of how we behave or how the church functions or operates, and that God wants a house of organization and order. How many of you guys know God is not running some chaotic, sloppy, fly by the seat of our pants, mismanaged, disorganized operation? He is building a spotless bride where people can find their form and their function and their purpose, and he's coming back for that kind of church, he said in his word, right? And God has a plan for his house. God has a plan for his church, and it's important for us to know how God wires this and what God's flow chart looks like, right? The cool thing is the Trinity, the Godhead, which is God the Father, Jesus the Son, who's also the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit, that the Godhead is the best CEO on the planet. Seriously, he is the best CEO on the planet, right? He knows how to run a tight ship. God does, right? He knows how to manage people properly and use them with precision. God knows how to maximize and steward his human resources, right? He knows how to gift people in specific ways and get them in the right spot, in the right place on the bus to help strengthen and build the whole of the organization or the church, right? And I think if we want to play our part in a healthy church, then we need to know how God gifts and organizes us with different gifts within the church. And so something that we believe that is widely either misunderstood or definitely undertaught is just the concept or the topic which we're diving into this morning of spiritual gifts and ministry offices. Something that isn't really talked about much, but it's actually something that God has designed for our church and even the local expression here at Alive to function properly. And if we don't know what the box top looks like, then we're all just trying to fit our piece into some random plan when God has already planned it out. He already knows where the corners are. He already knows how to fill all that in, and he's already poured out gifts inside of us. But if we don't know about those or that they're even available to us, we'll never be able to walk in the fullness of how God has wired us. And so each part of the Godhead, it's really cool, Father, Son, and Spirit, is responsible for giving us, the people that make up the church, different kinds of gifts. And so in our time remaining together today, I want to share with you three categories of spiritual gifts. We're going to look at three categories of spiritual gifts that we see in God's word. And again, God's word is our box top for this puzzle, right? God's word shows us the revelation or what the picture is supposed to look at. And so we're going to look to the box top today to see what God's word has to say about how he organizes, structures, and gifts his church. And so the first and foundational truth that I want us all to leave with today and understand this is, number one, the Father gives everyone say every. The Father gives every believer spiritual gifts. This is good news, all right? James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from who? The Father of lights, on whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." So every good and every perfect gift is from the Father above. God the Father gives every believer, those that believe in Jesus, spiritual gifts, right? And we see this and a list of some of these gifts that are available to every believer in Romans chapter 12. And so if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn there or turn on to Romans chapter 12. This is where we talk about the spiritual gifts that are for every believer in the body of Christ. We're going to look at specifically Romans 12 verses 4 through 8 here. I'll read it for you guys and then we'll talk about it. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one in the body," or body in Christ, "and individually members of one another." Verse 6, "having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in a ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." And the cool thing is, we all have gifts different. We all have different spiritual gifts. Aren't you thankful that we're not all the same? That would be boring and bland, right? God is eclectic. He loves to collect all the gifts and put them in the body because he knows every gift is needed, right? And the word gift here in the Greek is charisma. We all have a charisma. We all have a wiring, an endowment, a bent from the Father in heaven of why we are passionate in this way, or we're really good at this skill versus this skill. We have a charisma. And the gift, the word gift, is charis. We have this grace, according to the grace or this gift that has been given to us. And so what does this mean? This means we all have a divine grace or endowment from the Father. And these are the spiritual gifts that are given to every believer, right? These are also sometimes known as the motivational gifts. So motivation, right? Or motive gifts or grace gifts, all right? These gifts have to do with your design, with you and I's wiring, right? How we are graced by God. They're God-given motivations, all right? Sometimes called motive gifts. We say it around here that we believe there's gold inside of every single one of us, that God has deposited a gift inside of every single one of us. It's our job to mine it and to discover it so that we can actually fully utilize it, right? But we have gifts inside of us, right? And the cool thing is God the Father gives these gifts. He endows or empowers you and I with a grace or a gift or a charisma, right? That will help build his kingdom and help you find your purpose in God's bigger puzzle, right? And in Romans 12, we get a list of 7 different types of gifts. If you can go ahead and show them that slide real quick just to see them more visually there. We've got these 7 spiritual or motive gifts that we see in Romans chapter 12. The gift of prophecy, the gift of administration. In my translation, it said ministry, but it translates more appropriately admin. So if you have an admin gift, teaching, encouragement is another way to say exhortation. We have giving. The gift of giving shows up here. Leading, which is also known as serving, because there's no word serving in the Bible. There's leaders, right? And so, and then there's number 7 is mercy. And so we have these 7 spiritual gifts that are all given to us. Now, we might not have all of them, but we might have at least one of these. You might be good in 1 or 2 or 3 of those. You know, some of you guys are sitting next to your spouse, you're like, yep, they're not that. And I'm definitely this, right? And sometimes even in a household, God brings different gifts together to become a marriage union and to help parent the kids and do all that because we need the different gifts. But I think sometimes this can be so abstract. Okay, those are great. I like this list, but how would this function? You know, I think a way to do this, we share this in Growth Track Step 2. So if you've taken Growth Step 2, you've already heard this. And if you haven't yet, you'll hear it again because hopefully you're going to take that next step to eventually get to Step 2 here shortly. But we use this example because it's important to know that in one given moment, all the gifts can be necessary and needed. Not one is boxed out, right? And I like to use this example. And again, I'm not prophesying this over you, but say, for example, you and your family are sharing a great meal and you just finished your meal and now it's time for dessert, all right? And at the end of the meal, and as somebody drops their dessert plate and it crashes on the floor, everyone say, your peace matters. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's a piece of pumpkin pie. I'm not prophesying this over you, but that happens. Uh-oh. And in that moment, what would it look like for all 7 of the spiritual gifts to show up at that table? This is what it would look like. The person with the mercy gift would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? That's mercy, right? The person with the serving gift will say, you know what? I'll go ahead and take care of it. Don't you worry about it, right? The person with the teaching gift will say, well,
The reason it fell off was because your plate was a little off-sided, right? The preaching gift would say, I told you should have been more careful, right? The exhortation gift would say, that's okay. It happens to all of us, right? The person with the gift of giving would say, here, you can have my piece of pie, right? And then the person with the admin gift would say, okay, John, you go get the mop. Susie, you clean up the mess, right? So they're just kicking butt and taking names. They're administrating this situation. All seven spiritual gifts that are necessary, needed, right, could show up at that same dinner table, right? And this is important because they all are needed. Every piece matters in God's puzzle, and every gift is valuable, right? We see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Again, gift is charisma. Grace word here is charis. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so we see speaking gifts and we see serving gifts, and not one is better than the other, but they're all needed, right? Ultimately, the purpose is for us to use our gifts. As each one has received a gift, the Bible says, use it, like do something with it, right? Why? To ultimately bring glory to God. But you come more alive when you begin to use your God-given gifts. It's how God designed us and wired us. Life becomes way more fun when you actually connect with your gifting and start using it to make a difference in other people's lives. It makes your spiritual life come alive. And every single piece matters, and every single piece is needed. We can't say, no, we don't need that one. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 22. Paul does a little teaching on this, saying, hey, we can't box any of these gifts out. They're all needed and necessary. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And so we cannot say that we don't need any of these gifts. They're all needed. They're all given by the Father. He's put some of them in us. We shouldn't be ashamed of them. We should let them out. We should use them to serve one another, to build God's church, to find our peace in God's puzzle. And so where are we going with this? Just remember, the Father has given every believer spiritual gifts. You have gifts. You have some gifts, right? And one gift isn't better than any other gift, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, your peace matters. Your peace matters. It definitely does. And so when it comes to spiritual gifts, that's the first area, those motivational or motive grace gifts. But I want to go on to the second one. When it comes to spiritual gifts, the second thing we need to understand is number two, the Spirit empowers any, everybody say any. The Spirit empowers any believer with gifts of the Spirit as he wills. Okay, this is important. We're going to talk into a couple of the details here in this point in a second. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts. In the New Original King James, it says, now concerning spirituals, which meant the gifts of the Spirit. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. What is Paul saying here? He's like, I don't want you to sleep on these things. I don't want you to be under a rock on these things. I want you to understand that there are such thing as spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit. Specifically, he's going to go on and teach about the nine gifts of the Spirit that are separate from the motive gifts that we just looked at a minute ago in Romans 12. Does that make sense? And so let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. It's important for us to know the difference. I think a lot of people and a lot of church folk just throw all the gifts into one pot. And yes, they're all spiritual gifts in a different way, but there are some delineations of who can use these and when they can be used and how the rules and all of that stuff. And so we need to rightly divide the word of truth to understand how these things work within the body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, Paul says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So these are going to help all of the body of Christ. What are they? To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Everyone say, he wills. As who? The Holy Spirit. As the Spirit wills. So these are different than the grace gifts that we found in Romans 12. And sometimes these nine gifts of the Spirit are known as the manifestation gifts. So if you want to keep that M theme, we've got the motivational gifts or the motive gifts in Romans 12. We've got the manifestation gifts that happen here in 1 Corinthians 12, right? And I want to show you a slide here just to make sure we're all on the same page of what those nine were. So go ahead and show that to them. A lot of Bible scholars like to put these in categories. I think this helps too, where there's three, three, and three. So three of these gifts, the first three are revelation gifts. They're gifts that reveal something. We've got the word of wisdom, we got the word of knowledge, and we got the discerning of spirits. We're getting some kind of revelation through these gifts. The second group would be power gifts, like power, God's power, gift of faith, healing, working of miracles. And then the last three are what they call utterance gifts or speaking gifts. They're three gifts that say something. That would be the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, all right? Now, guys, we teach a lot more in depth on all of these gifts in our Basics 201 class. And so if you've never taken 201, I encourage you, if you're interested in this and how these work, I don't have time today to do a full discourse on what each of these gifts are and what they all look like. But a couple things that are important here that I think it's really important that we all have a baseline understanding on. And that is, these gifts are given as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will. So what does that mean? We don't decide who or when these gifts operate. The Holy Spirit does. We yield and we're sensitive and we're open to these gifts, but we don't control these gifts. Does that make sense? The Spirit gives these gifts, and the Holy Spirit can and give and use these gifts through any believer. Any believer could be using these gifts, but not every believer will be or can or probably will be used in these gifts. Does that make sense? So anybody who believes in Jesus, yielded to the Holy Spirit living inside of you, could be used in one of these nine gifts of the Spirit. But there's not a guarantee that we all will be used in these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does that kind of make sense here? So we got to understand what we're playing with here. Not every believer will operate and flow in all of these, but why we have these gifts? It's for the profit of all. These gifts are supposed to help edify and build up the church, the house, the body of Christ, right? And their purpose isn't to make you look more spiritual or spectacular than the next believer sitting next to you. No, they're to really minister to one another. These are supernatural gifts. Some of these make your mind go, what? Like, what's happening here? Because miracles shouldn't happen, right? And sometimes healing shouldn't happen, right? And how should people know something that happened to you 13 years ago and they never knew you, but they know by the Spirit of God that that happened to you or that situation happened to you? Because the gifts are in operation in a believer's life. Does that make sense? And they're for our benefit, they're for our edification. Now, I do want to preface this before we move on to the third category, and it's this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, at the very end of kind of Paul's teaching on all of this, he does make this statement. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So Paul is saying here, hey, it's okay to desire the spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't say to covet them or to over-obsess about them or try to manipulate them to make them happen. He just says it's good for us to be sensitive and desire the greater gifts. The greater the gift, the greater the blessing. Amen? God wants to help his people. And so it's okay to desire these manifestation gifts. And I believe the more that we're aware of them, the more that we know they're there, the more that they could flow in any believer, in any service, in any prayer group, any crew that we're in, the more they'll actually operate because we leave room or make space for them to operate. If we box these out and say, yeah, that's kind of weird, I don't like the gifts, I'm just going to keep them over in that box, then God's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to overwrite human will. He's going to stay in his little box where you leave him there. But if you want the gifts to operate and you want God to move in some powerful ways, then we got to be sensitive to them and know about them, be aware of them, and use them when God leads us to be used in them. Amen? And so we've got these motive grace gifts, Romans 12. Hopefully I'm making clarity here. And then here we see in Corinthians, right? We see that the 9 gifts of the Spirit to any believer, as the Spirit wills, it's not, we don't control these and manipulate these. This is what we just yield. I just like to say that. We just yield to it. The Holy Spirit wants to move in that way. We sense that in our spirit. How do you know that? We go into deeper stuff in that, and Basics 201 and some of the Revival Night stuff that we do here. So if you're curious about that, we have other outlets to explore some of this stuff here. But for our basis on Sunday morning with our short time here, I do want to move on. And so we've got the motive gifts. We've got the manifestation gifts, but number 3, the third category of gifts I want us to understand is this. Jesus appoints some, everyone say some. Some believers to ministry office gifts. These are the ministry gifts. So we've got motivational, manifestation. Now we've got ministry gifts or offices, all right? And this comes from Ephesians chapter 4. So if you go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verses 11 and 12, we get a list of 5 here, offices or ministry office gifts. And he, who's the he that's being referred to in this scripture, that's Jesus, all right? So Jesus is the one that gives these offices or these gifts. He himself gave some, everyone say some? Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we have these 5 ministry office gifts here listed here, often known in other circles as the 5-fold ministry gifts. If you ever heard, are you part of the 5-fold? Do you understand how the 5-fold ministry offices work? These are the 5-fold ministry offices. And you guys see that here on that slide there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And this generation has discovered a 6th ministry office, Christian influencer. Some of you are looking at me weird. I'm just joking. That's actually not funny. We will talk about that next Sunday. Pastor Erica will be back. You don't want to miss it. A couple important things about these 5-fold ministry office gifts. Let's go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and look at a couple other details of this passage. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Couple things here. Gave. Everyone say the word gave. Gave. These gifts come from Jesus, the head of the church. He gave some. We don't call ourselves. Jesus calls or appoints us to these gifts, all right? So we can't self-appoint ourselves to the offices we want to be in, the titles we want to hold, or the things we want to be used in. Jesus, the head of the church, the CEO, boss man Jesus determines who gets these in the company, all right? In the congregation, in the assembly. He's the one that deals these offices out. We don't self-appoint ourselves, right? If you want to put it this way, in the more corporate world, these 5 offices represent the 5 leading roles on what we'd call God's executive team that have oversight of the entire body of Christ or that local representation, right? And so God knows what he's doing. So he said it gave some, everyone say some. These 5-fold ministry gifts are given to some believers, not all believers. Not every believer will stand in a 5-fold ministry office. Not everyone is called to these positions. Again, these are, and those that are called don't usually start there. Does that make sense? I just get, oh, Lord, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm born again. Woo, oh, I'm an apostle. I'm starting churches. You know, it's like, well, I'm not coming to your church. That's a little... It's called putting a novice in the ministry, and the Bible has very specific instructions of how that's not wise, right? But I know people all the time. We graduated from Bible school, 2 years of reading the Bible, and they're like making business cards, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor, Jermaine. You know, I'm like, nice to meet you, brother, but not coming to your work. You know what I'm saying? Like a little too soon. So like sometimes the Lord cooks these in a crock pot. He develops your gift, and eventually he confirms the call. Not just you, but other people see the call on your life for this office. They speak into that. It's confirmed, and you step into it, right? Usually, it takes a time of proving. Good stewardship and faithfulness of what? The motive gifts, the gifts that God has given every believer, those 7, and flowing appropriately in the gifts of the Spirit, some of those as the Spirit wills, would probably promote somebody to a ministry office over somebody that isn't, all right? Again, the spirit of competition in our culture kills this stuff. What are you? What gift are you? Oh, my gift's better than yours. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no. That's not how these gifts work. It's a spirit of humility. Jesus gives it. He's the most humble servant that there was. We can't be competing for gifts and offices. And what are they there for? They're there for the equipping of the saints. The saints are the other believers to equip the saints or the church, the people of the church, to do the work of the ministry. Most people think that old school country church, pastor, you do all the work and we'll just come and listen. That's not actually scriptural. If I'm doing my job as an office of pastor and teacher, it's actually to build a team of people that can do the ministry when I'm not here. Does that make sense? That's a sign of a healthy church. Like if we take a Sunday off, the whole thing don't fall apart. Right? Like that is actually the call of some of those offices, not to do everything. It's to locate the gifts and the gold, develop those and release those for their purpose and kingdom impact, but also for the whole and the edifying of the body, the building up of the body. And so if I can just caution us real quickly before we close about not falling into the ditch on these ministry gift offices. Remember, not everyone is going to operate in these or stand in these, just some. And there are some people who think that all believers operate in all of these fivefold offices, or that you can kind of come and go in and out of those, and depending on who shows up that day, somebody will be in that office, and or that there's different fivefold offices that everybody flows in. And I just don't see that scripturally. I think the key here is to stick with the box top, the Word of God, where the Bible says some, not all, but some may be put in this office, right? And now, don't get me wrong, you might be able to operate in more than one office. I know a lot of pastors that are also great teachers, and they also have an apostolic ministry on them and where they start and plant new works. And so you could be apostle, you could be a prophet, you could be a teacher, you could be a pastor, you could be all five of these. I haven't met many people that stand in that office, but usually there's one or two that you kind of lean towards. And so remember, it's a calling from the Lord, not a self-appointment. I think that's Jesus makes the call. Amen. And how will you know? How would I know? He would make it very clear. He would confirm it, scripture and verse. Spiritual mentors and leaders in your life would see that gift and call on your life. It would take time to develop and step into that, right? And so I'm thankful that we didn't just come out of Bible school and try to start a live family church. It would have failed. We would have never made it through COVID. But I'm thankful that we had eight and a half years of just faithfulness, of just being faithful with our motive gifts and faithful with the spiritual gifts that God gave us, and just being faithful under another man's, so that when God said it's time to step out and launch your own, we had some kind of backbone, some spiritual ministry resume to step out on, and so we weren't just so green, if that makes sense. God calls us into these offices, but here's the other thing that I think a lot of believers confuse. Don't confuse a spiritual gift as the same thing as a spiritual office. Right? Just because you like starting things doesn't necessarily mean you're called to the office of an apostle. You may have some charisma or some motivational bents to be a starter and a planter and an entrepreneurial spirit, which is, that's amazing. We need that in the kingdom of God, but doesn't necessarily mean that you are an apostle. And how many churches do you oversee? I love when people meet me. Yeah, I'm a gift of the apostle. I go, cool, what churches are you overseeing? Well, I don't really oversee a church. I'm like, okay, all right, awesome. Security, no, I'm just kidding. Just because you prophesy doesn't mean you stand in the office of a prophet. And we don't have time to teach all this, but there's much deeper there. Oh, we can all prophesy. Just because you are leading people to Christ and you love to lead people to Christ doesn't mean you stand in the office of an evangelist. And just because you love preaching or teaching God's word or leading Bible studies or leading crews doesn't mean you stand in the office of a pastor or a teacher. But hear my heart and hear God's heart. The fivefold ministry offices are necessary and needed and are a part of how God organizes and manages his body. And it's beautiful because God knows what he's doing. He's not running a fly by the seat of his pants operation here. He is specific and detailed. The Father gives gifts to any person or all people. The Spirit gives as any would be willed, right? And then the Jesus, the third person, the Godhead, the Son gives some ministry offices. And here's the key, guys. So you don't get hung up. Don't focus so much on the gifts or the offices. Focus on the one who gives them out. I always like that. It's like, just focus on Jesus. Keep your heart pure towards the Lord. I've found that, man, when you stay focused on the Lord and you just begin to serve where he plants you and where he leads you, the gifts and the offices will take care of themselves, right? But when you go to try to chase those things or force those things or manipulate those things, that's where it gets messy, and that's where humanity gets in the way of divinity, and it gets awkward. That's where people get hurt. That's where church hurt happens. That's where offense happens. There's a lot of junk in the body of Christ happens when we try to promote ourselves to these gifts versus allowing the game to. I've always tell my kids and I coach, I say, let the game come to you. Let your game speak. I don't need to go out on the court and tell people how awesome I am and who I played against and all that. I just need to keep my mouth shut, get out. When the ball rolls out, I'll just prove it to them. Let your game speak for you, right? The fruit, they'll know you by your fruit, Jesus said. So like, let the game speak for you, and don't be worried about titles or offices and all of that. I know you guys aren't, but just felt like we needed to go here. We haven't taught on the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts or offices in a really long time, if not any, here from the platform. And so I think it's really important for us to realize that, man, the Godhead, I love the coolness of this. All three parts of the Godhead are dishing out different gifts and offices. That's pretty cool. God, in the fullness of who he is in engaged in giving gifts, right? Every believer has motive or spiritual gifts. Any, as the Spirit wills, and the Holy Spirit gives the gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus appoints some to ministry offices. This makes sense to me now. I've sat in this all week and studied this out. And practically, what do we want to leave here today with? It's this. I want you to understand, you have gifts. I believe the Lord wants you to know as you leave here today, as you log off today, you have gifts. It says in Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, right? You are a piece in God's puzzle. You have gifts. That's good news. You got to leave with that today. Someone say, I got gifts. The second thing is you got to discover your gifts. Discover those gifts, right? Psalm 139, 13 and 14 in the NLT. David says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How well do you know the gifts that God has given you? How well do you know how God has made you, how he's gifted you, the gold that he's put inside of you? And if you don't, it's your job and it's our job to help you discover and locate that and maximize that for full kingdom impact. And the last step is you don't just need to know you're gifted or how to discover your gifts, but the third step is action today. And it's this, use your gifts within the local church. Like use your gifts. If you've got gifts, use them. Ephesians 4:16, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every piece fits in there, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Guys, did you know that you have a supply? You have a share. And your gift matters because it helps bring growth and strength and stability to the body of Christ, the church. And so what do? We plant ourselves in the church. We talked about that last week, if you missed that. We discover our gifts, but once we plant in a church, we don't sit on the bench with gifts. We get in the game, we check in, we say, I could help with this. I could help you out here. I could do this, right? And when we all get in the game and we begin to use those gifts, again, that's where the growth happens, and that's where the spiritual growth happens in our own life. This is not just for the benefit of the church. Remember, the church isn't a building. The church is the people. It's us. This is for the growth of the body. We're the body of Christ, amen? And last thing I want to say about this is don't worry about where you start out. God will take care of that journey, amen? I think a lot of people are like, well, I want to start here. It's like Proverbs 18:16 says, a man or a woman's gift makes room for him and brings you before great men. Just start using your gifts where you're put and the rest will take care of it. I've always learned that. And when somebody self-appoints themselves and says, I'm a little above that role, I say, awesome, this might not be the greatest church for you. Because that heart and that spirit is not Christ-like. He came as a servant, amen? He came as a servant, he humbled himself and took the lowest position. And so some people are like, you know what? I really want to do this and that and other. I'm going to say, yeah, we check that heart first. Because God could care less about the gift, he cares about the heart. And out of a pure heart, that gift will flourish and grow. And out of a deceptive or manipulative or selfish heart, that gift will shipwreck some people's faith. So we got to be wise about this stuff. Amen. And so I want you to, as we close today, I want you to realize that, man, what does this look like to discover your gift or to develop your gift? And I think you guys have heard us talking about this, but we really mean it. Like we've created a tool and a process to help us all walk through this at our own pace. We call it Growth Track. Step one is make alive your home church, plant roots in a church, right? Step two is discover your design. That's what we're talking about today. You take a spiritual gifts assessment. You learn how God has wired you. What spiritual gifts do I have? And then step three is join the Alive team and start serving and become part of the team. Put that piece in the puzzle and let it start functioning. Because remember, when that one or two or three or 16 pieces are missing, that puzzle just doesn't look as vibrant. It doesn't pop as much. But when you step up and you use your piece, what beautiful things God can do. Amen. God is so faithful. And so I want everybody, as we close, to hold up your piece one more time if you have one. And I want you to repeat this after me. Say, my piece matters. Say, I'm a piece in God's puzzle. I have spiritual gifts. I will discover my gifts. I will flow in the gifts as the Holy Spirit leads me. And I will use my gifts to build God's house. My peace matters. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful and thankful for just teaching us this morning, showing us the box top of your word, of what this thing called the church or your house looks like, and how you order it and function it, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you for all the gifts that are represented here, both in person and online. The gifts that you've placed in us, the gold that you've placed in us. Lord, I pray that we leave knowing that we have a place, we have purpose, we have something to offer, we have a share, we have a supply. And Father God, life's too short to just sit on the bench and let other people use the gifts that they have. When we have a gift, if we've been given a gift, Lord, may we use it to minister to one another as your word instructs us, Lord God. We thank you for greater clarity on these gifts, and what to pursue and what not to pursue and how it functions and what to honor and what to esteem and what how we let the game come to us, Father God. But Lord, I thank you for Alive Family Church. And I thank you that your word said, we read it today, that you place the members in the body. You specifically and strategically place members in the body for the growth and the health of the body. And so, Father God, if we're called to be here, help us plant and bloom here, Father God. Help us put down good roots. Help us understand the ways that you've gifted us and use those gifts to further your kingdom, to help others come to that saving knowledge of you. Father, we give you our lives. We surrender it to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.